Good morning. Okay, so it's kind of a long title, but my presentation is called What Do Riders Think? Evaluating Motorcycle Rider Training from the Perspective of Newly Endorsed Motorcyclists in Florida. And I'm presenting on behalf of the Center for Urban Transportation Research. No relationships to disclose. All right, so as we've seen in a couple presentations now, motor vehicle fatalities have actually been decreasing. This data is from the 10-year period of 2003 to 2013, but during this same period, motorcycle fatalities have actually increased by more than 25%. And according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, there were nearly 5,000 motorcyclist fatalities in 2013 alone. So Florida, we have one of the largest motorcycle rider populations, and along with that, we have the second largest number of motorcycle fatalities of any state in the U.S. So motorcycle safety is really an important issue for us. So what I'll be presenting on today are some findings from our 2014 Florida Rider Training Program Survey. And this is an annual survey distributed by the Center for Urban Transportation Research. And our two overarching aims are to look at the characteristics of new motorcyclists in Florida, as well as to collect feedback from those riders about our rider training program. So Florida is unique in that we were the first state to adopt a mandatory rider training program law, and this requires any motorcyclist to complete our training program in order to get their license or motorcycle endorsement. So rider training has become very common throughout the United States. 47 states actually have state legislated programs, Florida being one of them. And the most common course that's used was developed by the Motorcycle Safety Foundation. It's called the Basic Rider Course. And again, this is the course that Florida uses as well. This is a 15-hour course in total. It combines 5 hours of classroom instruction with 10 hours of riding in an off-street paved location, typically a large parking lot. So although this training program and other training programs have become very common, results about their effectiveness are still pretty inconclusive. So some studies have shown that riders that participate in these trainings are less likely to be involved in crashes or to commit violations, but other studies have found that there's no difference between riders who do and do not take these trainings. And still, some studies have actually found that riders that take the training program are more likely to be involved in accidents afterwards. So there's a couple different explanations for these mixed findings. The first is definitely selection bias. So Florida is very unique in, as I said, having the mandatory program. So in a lot of states, this program is simply an alternative option to taking a driving course offered by the DMV. So it tends to attract a lot of less experienced and less skilled riders that actually take this 2-day course. So that's leading to it. And then additionally, the performance metric that's actually used, crash involvement. So a lot of things influence crash involvement beyond a rider's training, but it's also failing to account for any differences in course implementation or course curriculum. So all of that bringing me to the purpose of the current study, I want to start out by saying our goal was not to evaluate the Florida Rider Training Program as a countermeasure at reducing crash involvement. Rather, we really just wanted to collect feedback from riders that had recently completed the course, and we wanted to assess three main things. We wanted to look at their overall satisfaction with the course, their motorcycle-related self-efficacy after having taken the course, and we also wanted to see their self-perception of knowledge and skill acquisition across 6 domains that I'll go more specifically into. So the Florida Rider Training Program survey is paper and pencil based. It has 32 items in total, and the way we distribute it is by partnering with Florida Rider Training Program sites throughout the state. You can see the 2014 locations on that map. We had 9 schools in 2014. And they were able to distribute 864 surveys on our behalf. So briefly, I'll go through the items of specific importance for this presentation. The first is the overall quality item. So we asked riders, how did the course teach you to ride? Was it poor, excellent, fair, good? We also were interested in their comfort level or self-efficacy, so we asked them to rate how comfortable they now feel operating a motorcycle. They could choose anywhere from 1 being very uncomfortable up to 7 being very comfortable. And this is the list of the 6 domains we are interested in. So the first is crash avoidance techniques. This involves things such as quick stops, cornering, swerving. We also wanted to know their general riding skills. We asked about their ability to handle dangerous road conditions, including construction zones, slippery surfaces, uneven surfaces, obstacles. We wanted to know their knowledge of the effects of alcohol on their body and their ability to ride safely. Their knowledge of personal protective equipment, including the proper helmet to wear and other riding gear. And also their knowledge of how to increase their visibility to other road users by wearing bright reflective clothing or using their headlights during the day. And this is just a sample of what those items looked like. You can see they were given a before and an after box, and they used Likert scales again to rate their knowledge or skill, with 0 being none, 3 intermediate, and 6 excellent. So in total, we got back 398 responses. This was for a response rate of about 46%. We had a largely male sample, and they were mostly between the ages of 18 and 34. And this does capture our target audience for safety interventions. And a really interesting thing to note is the reason that participants actually took the rider course. So as I mentioned, in Florida, this is mandatory for anyone that needs to get their license. And what we saw is that 63% were new riders that needed to get their license. And the second most common reason, 26%, were that they've been riding and now, for whatever reason, decided to get their license. Only 5% of our respondents took this course because they wanted to improve their skills. So from a policy standpoint, it really shows how effective this law has been at getting people to take the course. And overall, they were highly satisfied with the course. 80% rated it as excellent, and a total of 97% rated it as either good or excellent. And comfort level was also high. The average score was 5.6 out of 7. One thing I would like to point out with that item, it's not depicted in the slide, but although we had an overall high score on this item, 17% of our respondents only rated themselves at 3 or below. So considering that everyone taking this survey is now a licensed motorcycle operator in Florida, it's just a little interesting that 17% of them really still do not feel comfortable in their ability to ride. And then we were also curious whether experience level would influence respondents' ratings of the course. And what we found was that even respondents who said they were very experienced or somewhat experienced, they rated the course highly. There was no significant difference between the groups. And now I apologize for the small font, but I'll walk through each item. These are the scores on those 6 domains. So the inner darker green line are the before scores, and the lighter outer green line are the after scores. And we saw the greatest improvement in crash avoidance techniques. This was followed by knowledge and skills related to dangerous road conditions. And the third largest increase was seen in knowledge of increasing visibility to other road users. One area where we really didn't see a lot of improvement was knowledge of the effects of alcohol, but this is likely because this was rated very highly even before the course. So respondents came in saying that they were a 5 out of 6 on this item. And then also the second smallest increase was in knowledge of personal protective equipment. One thing I'd like to specifically point out are the general riding skills. So this was tied for the lowest rated domain prior to the course, so riders really didn't feel confident in their abilities in this area. And it saw the fourth largest increase, but it still remained the lowest rated domain even after riders had taken the course. One thing that was promising, though, is that all 6 domains, the increases were statistically significant from before to after. And this just shows, again, the specific scores before and after. And a couple things I'd like to point out about these results are that, as I briefly alluded to, students didn't enter the course with the same knowledge and skill across all domains. So when students started out, they felt very comfortable with their knowledge of the effects of alcohol already. Versus crash avoidance and general skills, they clearly felt less comfortable on those areas. Another thing is that the overall trend was that the largest increases were seen in domains that riders had been least competent in prior to taking the course. So we saw the greatest increase in crash avoidance, and this was the lowest domain before the course, and we saw the smallest improvement in alcohol, which was the highest before the course. Again, the exception to that overall trend really would be general riding skills, which although it was tied for the lowest, it only saw the fourth largest increase. So this study really moves the current literature forward by looking at not only crash involvement, but starting to look at some of those course factors with course implementation and curriculum. This allows us to get a more complete picture of what might or might not be working well with the course. And it also allows us to make changes to the curriculum as opposed to just knowing, okay, this isn't helping with crash involvement or it is. So future studies, however, should really try to objectively validate the knowledge and skill acquisition. We were just asking for self-report in this survey. And it also would be great if we could longitudinally follow participants beyond survey administration to look at those long-term outcomes of crash involvement and violation rates. But in conclusion, even the experienced riders were highly satisfied with the course, and the majority of respondents actually said they would recommend the basic rider course to experienced riders. And although only 5% of our respondents took the course to improve their skills, across all six domains that we measured, respondents reported increases in skills and knowledge. Thank you. Yes.
Thanks. That was very interesting. I'm a little confused about the pre. Was
okay.
The pre that they took at the beginning of these 2 days and opposed at the end, or at the end?
No. Yes, so they were asked simultaneously. The survey was only administered at the end of the course, and they had those two boxes right next to each other, and so they were able to say, before you took this course, how did you feel? After, how did you feel? Yeah, it's definitely not ideal. It would be really great if we could ask them beforehand.
And then do they have to pay for the course?
Yes, they do have to pay for the course in Florida. Some states offer it for free, but in Florida it's about $250. Yes, that's true also.
One more? Go ahead, Billy.
Do you have a helmet law in Florida?
No, Florida, well, we have one, but it's only partial. Florida repealed our universal helmet law, so it's only for riders 21 years and under. Yeah, so that's why it's so surprising that we actually were the first to do this motorcycle training law, because typically on the motorcycle legislation, Florida isn't the most liberal.
Thanks, Victoria. That's great work.
Thank you.